Here in a moment, we'll be in John chapter 6. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 1 through 15. Can a being create a world just by speaking words? Can a being speak a world into existence? Many would say, can't happen. No way. No chance. Can a being send a flood that covers the entire earth? Many would say, can't happen. No way. Can God part the waters so that his people can pass through on dry ground? Can't happen. No way that could happen. Could a little shepherd boy take a small, just with a small stone, take down a giant named Goliath? Can't happen. Nope. It's impossible. Can a virgin have a baby boy? Can't happen. Nope. Can a man who dies and is dead for 3 days raise from the dead? We know the answer. Can't happen. Right? We live in a world and a culture that speaks this phrase to the church and to those of us who believe over and over again. Can't happen. Can't happen. Impossible. But the truth is that we worship and live in relationship with a God who obliterates that word can't. And we're very thankful for that. And that's what we're going to see in the story we look at today in John chapter 6, 1 through 4. Or excuse me, 1 through 15. We live and worship, we live in relationship with and serve a God who obliterates this word can't. So let's get into the text, 1 through 4. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. So we got the setting for what we're going to read about here in just a moment. I want us to notice verse 4. John tells us that the Jewish Passover festival was near. I think he's wanting to call attention to the role, identity, and vocation of Jesus here. He's connecting what Jesus is about to do, the events that we're about to read about, with the Jewish Passover. So this is, in a sense, a continued story, the continued history of God, but it's going to be something new, something different as well. So John tells us the Jewish Passover festival was near. Verses 5 through 7. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have one bite, not even to have their fill, but to have just one bite." It's interesting there in verse 5, Jesus anticipated the hunger of the people. We saw Jesus in John 4. He went over to the woman at the well. He anticipated what was going to take place. We see Jesus seeing people, recognizing the need that people have. And it's not any different here in John 6. Our Messiah, he sees people. He understands what they're going through. Of course, we might be a little bit troubled by what we read in verse 6, that John tells us he asked this only to test Philip. for he had already in mind what he was going to do. Ancient rabbis would continually quiz their students. Essentially, in asking this question to Philip, John says this testing question, he was asking Philip, are you starting to get who I am? Are you starting to recognize the ability that I have, or the ability of God working through me? Are you starting to get this? That's what Jesus is doing here. Are you starting to pick up on this? You're a faithful disciple of mine. You should be getting what's going on here. If you don't, you're about to get it. Verses 8 and 9. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? So Philip thinks to himself, we can't do this. It's impossible to feed this many people. No way. But Andrew steps up and he says, well, here's a boy, 5 small loaves and or 5 loaves and a few small fish. Maybe we could do something with that. But how far will they go among so many is what he asks. In some ways, it seems ridiculous, right? What good is that amount of food going to do when you have that many people? But I believe that Andrew is demonstrating great faith here in this passage. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we move on. 10 and 11, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and then they sat down. There were about 5,000 men. About 5,000 men were there. And of course, we have the 5,000 men, and then there would have been a whole lot more because of women and children. So this is a huge group, 5,000 plus. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. It's interesting that John tells us that he gave thanks. What do you think that he said in that prayer at that time? I'd imagine that he acknowledged his Father's hand in what was taking place, this miracle. Giving thanks to God for his power, his provision seemed very tangibly to the people at that time. But we think about what's taking place here. When you try to really step into this scene, it's pretty crazy. How did this happen? How did this small amount of food go so far? One of the other accounts says that the disciples distributed the food. Here, it doesn't mention that. It says that Jesus is the one that did that. Maybe Jesus distributed it to the disciples and they passed it on. How did this take place? And we're talking so many people. Are we, you know, is this the longest buffet line of all time, you know, in Guinness, or in the Guinness Book of World Records or something? I mean, how did this happen? What did this look like? 5,000 plus people being fed. How long did it take to feed this many? You know, did they give some to maybe the men, and then they went over and gave it to the women and children? We don't know. We're not told, but we are told what we see here in 12 and 13. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So there is more left over than what they started with. That's pretty impressive. And I think that's another demonstration, another sign of the power of God here, that there is actually stuff, there's food left over, fish and bread. Jesus says, let nothing be wasted. I wonder there if he's referring back to when God fed the Israelites in the wilderness, thinking back to Exodus chapter 16. Remember, they weren't to waste any of the manna that God had provided for them. So the provision of God isn't to be squandered or taken for granted, right? Don't waste any of what I am giving you. We think of even in today's time, you know, God perhaps is showering blessings on us. Do we take them for granted at times? Do we forget about the power and provision of God? It says that there were 12 basketfuls that were left over, so far more than they started with. Some scholars have noted that perhaps the 12 basketfuls here are in one way or another symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, remember John had noted in verse 4 that this was taking place at the time of the Passover. So is this God doing something new for his people through the Messiah? Is this God providing for the people, but in a new, exciting, fresh way? Again, demonstrating his power that he has been showing since the beginning of time. Perhaps that's what's going on. Verses 14 and 15. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So God's plan was going to be different than what the people had in mind. And so Jesus steps away. And that's something that we see that Jesus does several times. He goes to a mountain by himself, spending this time of solitude with the Father. So that he understood that God had a plan that was different than man's plan. I want to go back to verse 8 again in this story. Back to Andrew. It says, "Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?'" You have to wonder, first of all, if like this boy had a parents there, and like this random guy just walks over and says, "Hey, would you mind coming over here? I've got, you know, we want your food." And parents are thinking, "Don't talk to strangers and don't walk over there, and by no means don't give them a fish and bread." You know, you have to wonder what's going on. Again, it's kind of crazy what's going on, but I believe that Andrew's faithful action became the resource for God's amazing miracle, right? This small little act. Here's a boy. He's got 5 loaves of bread. And he's got 2 small fish. Andrew just saying, I mean, can you do something with that? You know, at least I'm doing something. I'm doing better than Philip, you know. Philip's just like, no way. We could, you know, maybe get the people a bite, you know, if we collect all the money or whatever. But isn't that a lesson? Just Andrew's actions alone, and there's so much in the story we could talk about, but Andrew's actions alone, isn't there a great lesson in what he does to all of us? And so for us, it may not be going to, you know, get some bread or some fish or something like that, but maybe it's opening up our wallet and giving to something. You know, what could God do with those few bucks that are given for a cause that advances the purposes of God? What about that little act of service? Oh, that's, you know, it's just nothing to prepare that meal for someone. Or, oh, you know, it probably doesn't matter to them if I make that meal or go do that visit. But maybe in God's hands, perhaps that can make a great impact. Or even sending that text, oh, you know, what's the point? Maybe just that little text or that note or that email or that phone call, perhaps God can do some incredible things through that tiny act of service. I mean, look at what God can do with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. I think we've heard this story so many times from back in our VBS days that we have lost sort of the impact and the grandeur of this miracle. 5,000 plus people. Think about like a Round Rock Express game, you know, when they're playing really well and everybody shows up, right? I don't know how many that stadium holds, but it's probably not too much more than that. All the people seated in that arena, they all had as much as they desired, and there was actually some left over. That's what we're talking about here. That's the power of this miracle. So J.B. Phillips has this book. I've got to be honest, I haven't read the book, but I love the title of it. So that's worth something, right? It's called Your God is Too Small. Have you heard that? Anybody read that? Anybody, raise your hand. Anybody read that book? Okay. So I could have just said I read it and act, you know, talked about it like I did, and no one would have known any better. But so I love that idea, though. Your God is too small. I think that's true for so many of us. We have gone through the motions for so long. We've heard the stories for so long. We've sang the same songs for so long. We've interacted with the same people for so long. We have just kind of been lulled asleep. Even when it looks as if we are living in relationship with God, we've just kind of been lulled asleep. And we live in relationship with this God. As a matter of fact, this God through the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. This God who, with just a little tiny bit of food, can feed 5,000. And this same God is saying, I desire to work through you. I love you. I care for you. I want to use you as a vessel for my purposes and goodness in the world. Is your God too small? Have you forgotten about the power of God at work? For so many of us, me included, the word can't is way too often used in our vocabulary. You know, can the Leander Church do that? No, we can't do that. We don't have the resources, you know. Let's just talk about it. Okay. You know, could this auditorium be full? Because could we have to go to 3, 4, 5 services, you know, at some point? No, we can't do that. We just can't do that. We've been around too long. Too many people know our story, forgotten about us and all that stuff. Maybe our God isn't too, we're not talking about us. We're talking about God at work through us. Maybe we need to get can't out of our vocabulary. Can that person come to Christ? You know, that person, that terrible attitude, that person that just gets under your skin. We've got people like that in our life, right? No, they can't come to Christ. Just can't happen. Maybe your God is too small. What can your God do in that person's life? For some of us, the marriage, you know, our marriage is just, it's, we've been on rocky ground for so long. We just think that's how it works. You know, we can't have a marriage that's any better. Your God might be too small. Jesus fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He can restore your marriage. He can work in that person's life that we thought, no, can't do anything in that person's life. What stories like John chapter 6 remind us of is that nothing is impossible with God. God looks at that word can't and laughs. Just explodes it. Just obliterates it. God can do whatever God desires to do. And the real good news is that He's our God. He's the one that we live in relationship with, the one that we worship, the one that we have asked to work through us. That word can't, John 6 reminds us, push that aside. God doesn't know that word can't. Next week, we're going to be, if you want to read ahead, we're going to be over in just one chapter back in John 5. So the healing at the pool. If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of the church family, we're always here to pray with you, for you. I'm here for you. The ministers are here for you. Elders are here for you. Here in a moment, Daryl's going to lead us in a song. You can come for us. Let us know what's on your heart, and we'd be glad to pray for you. If there's anybody here that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, it would be awesome to witness you make that decision tonight. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship God.